Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the Gemara, a little bit less than halfway down Daf Samach Beis. The opening of the Gemara will deal with the seven samimonim, the seven ingredients that are used to cancel, to mevatel a kesem, a bloodstain, a nida bloodstain on a garment. The Gemara, Tona, Neser Alexandris, velo Neser Antipatris. The Mishnah had mentioned in the list of ingredients, the number four, the fourth ingredient was Neser. Neser is an ingredient that can be found in different locations, and apparently each location has a different quality or characteristic to it. So this Tanaic source tells us that we're interested in the Neser from Alexandria as opposed to the other kind, the Antipatris. Boris, again, one of the ingredients mentioned in the Mishnah. This was the fifth ingredient. On this, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, ze ohala. Boris was known in the time of the Gemara as ohala. The Gemara asks, how can Rav Yehuda tell us that Boris is ohala when we have a Tanaic source that says, ha Boris veha ohel? In this source, you see them listed as two separate items. Elomai Boris, so what must Boris be? Kavrisa, a different substance. The Rashi calls this gofris, and that substance is often translated as sulfur. But we in Gemara Markings really don't claim to deal with translations of particular items in the plant or animal kingdom or other types of specific names unless we have a clear tradition on them. So whatever gofris is, that's the Rashi explanation of kavrisa. The Gemara asks a kasha. This kasha lasts a number of lines. You'll see that we have a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Viramini, we raise a contradiction. How can you say that Boris is Kavrisa when we have the following Tanaic source regarding Shvius? Before we read the source, let us just mention that Kavrisa, and as Rashi calls it, Gofris, and as our possible translation is sulfur. Sulfur is a mineral substance as opposed to something coming from the plant kingdom. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the halachas, laws regarding the sabbatical year, Shemitah year. Shemitah year is a forum that is focused on the plant kingdom. So the source says, Hosifu Alehen, they added to the list of items that were in the topic of Shavias, Halavitzin, the Halaonin, Haboiris, the Ha'ohel. Notice the reference here to the Tanaic source that we saw quoted just two lines above, the Haboiris Va'ohel source. You see it right over here. And it's taught in the context of Shemitah, and Shemitah is a plant-related issue. V'i Boris equals Kavrisa, if, as the Gemara said two lines above, that Boris was Kavrisa, mi isle Shvius, would Kavrisa be subject to the laws of Shemitah, the sabbatical year? Absolutely not. V'hotanan, we have the following Tanaic source that says, Zehaklal, the following is the rule. Kol sheyeshlo ikur yeshlo shvius, anything that has roots to it would have the laws of Shemitah applying to it. V'chol she'ein lo iker ein lo shmias, and anything that does not have roots coming from it, for example, kavrisa, would not have the rules of Shemitah applied to it. Elamai Boris. So then what is Boris? Oh, hala. Does that sound a little familiar? Well, it does. And in fact, we ask this question above. V'hotanya ha-Boris vo'ohel. Boris is something other than ohel. So how can you come back and tell me that Boris is ohala? The Gemara answers, Trei gavni ohala. There are two kinds of ohala. So Boris represents one kind, and the term v'ohel in this Tanaic source represents the other kind of ohel. The sixth ingredient in the Mishnah list of substances was kamunya. Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda comments, he says that's known as shlof dots. So it's an expression without having to translate it. It's what the Gemara understood to be kamunya. The ashlag, that was the seventh ingredient. Omar Shmuel, shaltinhu linechusei yama. I asked all the seafarers, the Umru, and they said ashlaga shmei, that what's referred to in the Mishnah as ashlag is known to us as ashlaga. Umishtakach beini nikvi marganisa, it's found between the cracks in pearls. Umafki lo beramsa de parzala, and it's extracted using an iron, parzala is iron, ramsa, an iron nail. Hidbilo viasa vichule. We have a Tanaic source, and let us point out that the beginning part of this Tanaic source has a language structure, has terminology that needs a correction. So that's the reason that we have the brackets right at the beginning of the source, so that if you wanted to see the accurate reading, you would skip the brackets and you would read from the middle of the source, Hevir olav shisho samonim v'lovar, etc. But that having been said, let's read the source, realizing that the beginning is going to run into some problem. The source says, Hevir olav shivo samonim v'lovar. A person used the seven substances exposed the kesem to those seven substances, v'lovar, and the stain, the blood stain, or the appeared stain, did not go away. Sofun v'lovar, he applied sofun. Sofun, we would say, loosely translated, is a detergent. He used a detergent on it, and it went away. It had the effect on the stain of removing it. Taroisov temeis. So the person's taros that he had handled, or that she, the woman, had handled, are temeos, because this is supposed to indicate that this is a clear blood stain. And it would seem to be because it went away with the application of the detergent. The Gemara asks, this can't be the pshat. Tsafun tsevanami ma'avir. The subjection of a stain to tsafun, to detergent, even if it were a non-blood stain, if it were a random stain or dye, the word tseva is a reference to a dye, would be removed with the application of tsafun. So why does the source say that the taros are tomatoes, seeming to be an indication that this is a blood stain, when just because it got removed through tsafun, it could just as well have been a dye? Ella, so rather, the more accurate explanation of what this source is trying to communicate is as follows. Hevir olav shisha samanim v'lo avar. A person applied six of the seven ingredients that the Mishnah mentioned, and the stain did not go away. Hevir olav tsafun v'avar. And before applying the seventh ingredient, he applied the detergent to it, and the stain went away. Taros of Temeos. We declare the taros, the food, the truma or kochim or sacrificial meat that he had been in, that she had been involved with, as being tomei. She'im hevishvi mitchila shema avar. Had the seventh ingredient that the Mishnah lists been applied before applying the tsafun, it might have dissipated at that point. And as we've indicated before, that kind of stain that goes away as a result of these seven ingredients being applied, that's a sign that shows it was a blood stain. So in this case, where he applied only six of the ingredients, we still maintain the possibility it might have been a bloodstain, and the had he applied that, therefore the taharos are tameos. Tanya idoch, we have another source. Heavier olav shiva saman v'lovar, a person applied the seven ingredients, and it did not go away. The stain did not go away. Shon on the ovar, he repeated it, and they went away. Taroisov tahoirois. The taros that had been handled are tahor. In other words, the argument here is that had it been blood, so it would have gone away as after the first application of the Sheva Samonim, and it didn't. So it's a sign that it's not blood. So we can afford to say that the taharos are tahoros. Omar Rebbe Zera, lo shonar. Rebbe Zera has a major qualification of what we just learned, and as a result, a significant change in explanation will be due. He says, loi shonu elohataros shenasu bein tachboises rishonu lishnia. The declaration of tahoros, of the taharos being tahoros, the truma and the kochim that she was handling as being tahor, that applies only to those things that she had handled between the first and second tichboises. Tichboises is the application of the sheva samonim. Between, after she applied the first application of the Sheva Samonim, so it didn't go away. So it shows us that it shows us at that point in time that you're dealing with a dye and not with blood. Dyes are not metamis, so her taharos are tahoros. Rabbi Zera goes on, Avol, taharos shenasu achar techbeis shnia, taharos of tameos, sheri hikpid olov, the ovar. The taharos that she handled after the second rinsing, the second application, are tameos, because she, through her insistence on rinsing it a second time, she shows us that she is concerned with it as being blood. She doesn't want to have a blood stain on it. And it turns out to in fact be a blood stain by the fact that after applying the second series of applications, it went away. So the Rabbi Zera tells us that by the fact that she is makpid, that she demonstrates her concern and her approach, her attitude to this stain as a blood stain, so it gains the status of being a blood stain, and hence any taros that she handles after that second application are tameos. It would appear to me that declaration or conclusion that their tameos would apply until there is a mikveh immersion for this garment. But the Gemara doesn't spell that out, but there must be some type of boundary in time for us to be able to say that. So the idea that the taharos are after the second application are tameos, that would appear to be until it's eventually exposed to a mikveh. Omar Le, Rabbi Abba, we continue here at the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Abba says to Rav Ashi, Midi b'kepeda talya milsa. Does the matter of tuma and tara of the taros depend on the person's frame of mind? Omar Le, it does. Disanya, Rabbi Chia Omer, dam hanido vadai, a definite blood stain from a nida, definite tome blood. Mavir olov zayin samonim umevatlo. Apply the seven ingredients of the Mishnah and cancel it thereby. That will cancel it. That will void it. Ve'amai ha dam nidahu. Well, why should that void it? It's here, there's no doubt. It's not like a case of a kesem where we're always in doubt where it really came from. But here we know it's tamei blood. And yet, the application of the seven simonim is mevatelet. Alma bekepeda talya milsa. This shows us that it all depends on a person's frame of mind. Rashi points out that in the case of the vistaneic source, where it says apply the seven samon and mevatlo, Rashi says Rafil on the first of the last of the wide lines on top, the fourth line from the top, he says Rafilu lo avar, even if the stain does not go away, harehu batel v'torhu, it is void and the garment is tor, hoyel vin or the matpid olav achar boras samonim mido azale chazusa. A person doesn't concern himself with it anymore once he applied the seven substances and there's a dulling of whatever it was. He no longer cares about it and therefore it loses its significance. So we see that a person's frame of mind is that which determines things. So hachonami b'kepedo talya milsa. So to over here in our case where there was a second application of the seven samonim, so we see here that the person is very upset with it, that they're so insistent on its removal, so that until the point that it's completely gone and immersed in the mikveh, there is still tumah to be associated with it. For more explanation on this particular piece of Gemara, we recommend looking into the different Meforshim and particularly to look into the Ritva commentary. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source, but before we begin the source, let's just point out the introduction to this sugya is found in the under the Nosei heading in our margin, where we've written Mashkin Tamein Bluim. Mashkim Tamein, these are liquids that are Tomei, that are absorbed in another, we'll call it a host substance. E mitame afapi shelo yotza. Are they capable of communicating tuma even though they have not exited their host substance? The focus of the Gemara will be in the context of a tomei mashke that's absorbed in a host substance and is found in the airspace of a tanur. A tanur is a vessel that's used for cooking and baking. It's made of cheres, of earthenware, clay. It's a clay substance. And this vessel, according to the Torah, will become tomei when tomei things are found in its airspace. Even without actual contact with the inside walls of the kli cheres becomes tomei. That, as way of introduction, let's continue now in the Gemara. Tanan hosam harosin. Harosin are pieces of clay, shenishtamish bohen zav, that a zav had been using, shebolu mashkin. The Rashi gives as an example here we're familiar with it as a children's potty. It's called an ovet shomei raglayim. It's a vessel for a person to use for urination. We call it a portable urinal. So a zav had a vessel like that, and it absorbed mashkin, liquids from the zav. It should be pointed out, and we've learned this in our Masicht already, there's a list of as many as 9 different liquids that come from a zav, and each group of 3 liquids that are listed off in this Masichta have a different level of tumah. The word mashkin is a general term for the different liquids, so shortly we'll get a little more specific when we go on in the Gemara, but in the meantime, we have this earthenware vessel that's absorbed mashkin from a zav, and noflu la'avir hatanur, and these harosin, These pieces of earthenware that absorb mashkin of Ezah fell into the airspace of a tanur. Tanur is a clay baking device. The husak hatanur, and the tanur was fired up, was heated up, fired up. Hatanur tomei. The tanur is Tomei Shesoif Mashkelotzes. The absorbed mashkim are going to come out. In other words, in the heat environment, whatever had been absorbed in the charosin will come out. So you have a tanur with a Tomei substance that's in its airspace, and it's not absorbed at this point. It's not absorbed in the host substance in the charosin. Amar Reish Lakish, lo shanu elo mashkin kalin. The necessity of the tanur being heated up, and hence the mashkim actually emerging, this is so only if you're dealing with mashkim kalim, with a lighter level mashkin of the zav. As we mentioned before, there we've seen already a list of 9 different types of mashkin. The most intense of them includes things like the zov of the zav, or the shikhvazera. These are things that are metama people. That's called an av hatuma. Mashkim kalim are things like tears, blood that emerges from a bruise. These things are called mashkim kalim, and they are not av hatuma. Mashkim kalim is what is the subject of this source, that namely that only if they actually come out, then they pose a problem. Avol mashkin chamurin tomei afal pi shalohu sakatano. And this is Reish Lakish's position, that when it comes to mashkin chamurim of the zav, like the urine of a zav or the shikva zera of a zav, these are highest level tumah liquids. Reish Lakish says the tanur will be tomei even when they are still absorbed in the charosin, in the host substance. And the reason being is that since they have the potential of coming out, they are not considered balua, they're not considered in an absorbed state, and therefore they're metama. So since the potential for their emergence exists, that's enough to create the tuma in this tanur. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Echod Mashkim Kalim Vechod Mashkim Chamurim. Rabbi Yochanan says there is no distinction to be made im husak hatanur, if the tanur is fired up, namely they actually emerge from the charosin, then they pose a tuma threat to the tanur. Ilo, if they don't actually emerge, they remain absorbed. Loi, then they're not metama. As you can see, a triangle appears. A few of them, two of them with their points facing up, and a third triangle with an inverted point. You can see on our Mivneh heading in the margin, these represent Kushyos al Reish Lakish. These are challenges to Reish Lakish with the triangle facing up, where Rav Yochanan raises a challenge to Reish Lakish, and with the triangle inverted, it will be a Kasha raised on Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara, Esve Rav Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Hidbilu v'osal gabav toros, an article of clothing that had a stain in it was immersed, and taros were processed. The woman was prepared the truma or kachim. The heavier love zayin some of alavar, and the 7 substances were applied to the stain, and it did not go away. Harezet seva. That shows us that it's a dye and it's not blood. The taros of tahoros v'ein tzorach latbil, and the taros that were processed remain tohor, and there's no need for any further immersion in a mikveh. There is no tuma to begin with. Omar lei. Now, before we go on, of course, we have to explain the problem, the question over here. This is best done by looking at the Rashi. Taroisov tahoros. A few lines down from here in the Rashi, I amris bishem abolua shenu yochol lotzeis eli deyad chak tohor. If you say, like I said, Rabbi Yochanan said, that something that's absorbed that cannot exit unless something some extenuating circumstances or something extreme is done. Mishum hachi talinon lekula. Therefore, regarding this garment with the stain that did not leave with the 7 substance application to it, we say it's tohor. Where lekula means we are lenient. V'amrinon tseva hu v'tohor, and we come to the conclusion that it is a dye. Mishum the inami dam hu, because even if it were blood, like worst case scenario that the stain is a blood stain, since it's so absorbed that the seven samonim didn't remove it, v'af al pi sheyochol lotzis ayidei tzofon, even though it could come out, the potential of it coming out through tzofon exists. Tohor, it remains Tohor. Elo leidichah the amris, but according to you, Reish Lakish, that said, Hoyol v'choyon lotzis ayidei hesik, with regard to the charosin and the tanur, that since the mashkin chamurim could come out through the firing of the tanur, ki lo yotsunami tamayim, even when they don't come out, there still is tuma in the tanur because of the potential to come out. Hacha hechi talina lekula lechol truma taluya. How can you be so makil here to allow the eating of truma that is in doubt? The dilma damhu, maybe that which is absorbed here is blood. There is a potential, there's a possibility that it's blood. The question now has been raised that here we have an absorbed substance that, since it remains absorbed in the garment, we declare it to be tohor and not look at the potential of it coming out. And in the event that, let's say this point again, and we look at it as a dye, we reach a conclusive conclusion that it is a dye and not blood, even though maybe it's blood which would have come out through tzofun, through the detergent application. Omar Le, Reish Lakish responds, he says, Hanoch luksomim derabonan. Leave aside, in other words, don't ask your question from a case of blood stains, because blood stains are, their source is a rabbinic ruling in at the very outset. And here, where we see that it didn't come out and it remains absorbed, we can be lenient, because, as we said, it's only rabbinic in nature and not Torah-based. The Gemara asks, "V'atoni Rabbi Chiya, we have a Tanaic source which deals with something that is Torah-based, Dam Hanido Vadai, that's definite nida blood. Mavir olav zayin samon vatlo dam anida vade would be a case where we know that it came, it's blood that came from a nida. And we see here again that the application of the seven samonim voids it. And how does that happen? Well, it's because the blood is still absorbed in the garment. And even though it could come out through tzafun, and as Rashi pointed out before, in the case of the of Rabbi Chiya's source, even if the stain doesn't go away, so we have a definite nida blood stain that doesn't go away, and it's tohor. Why is it tohor? It's tohor because it's bolua, it's absorbed in the garment, and we are not interested in the fact that it has the potential of coming out. Omar Le, Reish Lakish answers, Rebbe Lo Shana, the source that you just quoted was not quoted or referred to in a Mishnah by Rebbe. Rebbe's Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. And that being the case, we have a Braisa taught by Rebbe Chiya that doesn't have a basis in a Mishnah. Rebbe Chiya Menole, where did Rebbe Chiya get it from? In other words, Reish Lakish is saying that this source is not not authoritative, possibly not even reliable, and therefore it doesn't pose a question or a challenge to my approach. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan again raises a challenge to Reish Lakish. Again, Reish Lakish had placed a premium on tumei substance that's absorbed, nevertheless is able to generate tumah, even though it's in a state of absorption, because it has the potential for emerging. So we have a Tanaic source that says Revius Dam Shiniva Babayas. And Revius is a liquid measure of blood, in this case blood from a dead individual. A Revius Dam is Mitame Ba'oihal in general. That quantity of blood from a corpse has the capacity of generating Tumas Meis. So now you have a Revius Dam Shinivla Babayas that was absorbed into a house. It was absorbed into the floor, especially if you're dealing with something like a dirt floor, which is an absorbent substance. This example would be relevant. Habayis tomei, v'amri lo habayis tohor. Habayis is a reference to the vessels in the house, portables that are in the house. are tamei, and there's another version that says that the vessels are tohar. The Gemara has an interruption here that we indicate with brackets, but we can afford to read it through straight, and we continue. Velo pligi ha bekelim de meikara ha bekelim de besof. The source that says the kelim are tamei, that's a reference to vessels that were there before the blood became absorbed into the house. Vessels that were brought into the house after the blood became absorbed, they will remain tohar. Nivla b'ksus, the revias dam of the mace got absorbed into a garment. Im miskabeses v'yoytse mimen revias dam tmeya. If the garment is washed and there emerges from it a revias of dam, then there is tuma. V'im lav, if not tahora, then it remains tahor. In other words, there is a revias of dam absorbed in this garment, and it doesn't come out right, just straight out. It comes out only through a rinsing, and yet we see that it is tahor. It doesn't generate tuma in this state where the source of tuma is absorbed into it. Rashi says, V'im lav Torah, Rashi in the wider lines toward the lower part of the page, he says, V'afagav d'revias shlemo nivles bo, even though a complete revias is absorbed in the garment, alma ebolua shenu yocholotzeis lehedya, that which is absorbed, that doesn't come straight out, elai de'adchak, other than through some external means, ki hocha, like our case, de'aliyah de'tsofun nafga kula, that through the detergent it would come out. The Kotani Torah, and it says that it is Tohar. Omar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana explains in defense of Reish Lakish, Mikule Revios Shanukan. Mikule is from lenient examples of Revios we have been taught over here. In other words, the example in this source represents something that we can be makil on. Shiny dam tevusa derabonan. The blood here was not blood or a revius of blood that was clearly from a corpse. It was a revius of blood that came from someone that was in a state of death, that was dying, where part of it came out from him when he was still alive and part after he died. So it's a suffix. We have a doubt whether the revius is something that came out when he was alive or when he was dead. Rashi, where we've dashed underlined in the Rashi commentary, about five lines from the bottom, Ezu dam tevusa, horuk shiotsu mimenu revias dam b'chayev v'moso, a revias of blood that came out from a person while he was still living and after he was dead. Sofek yotza rubo mechayim, sofek yotza rubo le'achar misa. And we have a doubt whether the majority came out when he was alive or after he already died. So something like that we say is metame, but only midrabonan. As a result of that, we can be lenient with regard to the garment and its ability to communicate tuma after the blood has been absorbed. But things that are tomei d'oraisa, liquids that are tomei d'oraisa, if they're absorbed, they will, in a host substance, they will generate tuma, even though they are still in a case of a state of absorption, according to Reish Lakish. Eisfei Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan kol ha'bolua she'enu yochol lotzeis tohor. Reish Lakish raises an objection to Rabbi Yochanan from this source that says anything that's absorbed and cannot exit, so it will be tohor. Ha yochol lotzeis, however, if there is the potential for it to come out, tomei v'afal gav d'lo nofik, it will generate tuma even though it hasn't already come out. So we see that the mere potential for it to come out is enough to generate the tuma. That's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Omer of Papa. So Rav Papa comes to explain and mediate the situation. Rav Papa it will be sharing with us what we call a long point. And at the with this long point goes to the top line of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, at the end of which we will be able to appreciate at what point there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And with that, we will also understand how this source is not a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. So, Amar Rav Papa, Kol Hecha De'ein Yochol Lotzeis V'lo Hikpid Olav Divrei HaKol Tohor. If you have something that, a substance that cannot come out, and he doesn't mind its being there, everyone agrees that it will be Tohor. It's Tuma in a state of absorption, and there's no Hakpada, therefore there's Tahara. Yochol Lotzeis V'Hikpid Olav, if you have something that could come out, and he doesn't like it, he minds it being there, Divrei HaKol Tomei, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that it is Tomei, even though it's in a state of absorption. Ki Pligi, when do we have a Machlokes? The Yochol Lotzeis, and we should point out, by the way, that the source above of Kol HaBalua Sheino Yochol Lotzeis Tor could very well be a representative of this first case where it's something that's absorbed and he does not mind it, so it's Tohor. Hence the source itself doesn't pose a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. We go on to the third level, Ki Pligi, the Yochol Lotzeis V'lo Hikpid Olav. If you have a situation where a substance has the potential of coming out, but he does not mind it. More sovar, kevan de yochol lotzeis, afagav de lo hikpid olav, there is tuma, Rab, that would be Reish Lakish's position. And more sovar, afagav de yochol lotzeis, even though it has the potential of coming out, im hikpid olav, in only if he minds it will there be tuma. But if he doesn't mind it, the fact that it has the potential of coming out is not enough to create tumor, to generate or radiate tumor. And that would be Rabbi Yochanan's position. So we can see that as far as the different questions raised on each opinion in this source, each one of the questions was deflected, and at the end of the Gemara we see a presentation of under what circumstances Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish themselves actually argued. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.